Hey, Wahoo fans, this is Channing Poole. Happy to have you with us this afternoon. We welcome Coach O'Connor to VirginiaSports.com. Just a fun little check-in and hoping that all of you are doing well at home and making the best of the situation. And so with that, we thought it might be fun to have a chat with the head coach, kind of recap the 2020 season, and also just hopefully make sure that all is well in the O'Connor corner of the world and the Virginia baseball corner of the world. It was obviously a shock to us all to see the season come to a rather unceremonious halt. But even with that, there are some silver linings. And the first and foremost for me is to be able to chat with the head coach. So, Coach, with that, first of all, welcome to VirginiaSports.com. Thanks for chatting with me and giving the Wahoo faithful an update.
Well, thanks, Channing. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's great to see your face. I know it's been, you know, darn near 3 weeks since we played our last ball game, and certainly, you know, everybody's dealt with the disappointment and frustration of, you know, not only sports not going on, but, you know, just normal interaction with other people, going to work, doing our normal things that we do in our lives, and how that's changed 3 weeks ago. But everybody's good here. You know, we're just getting through this and finding ways to, you know, get better as a team. You know, we've been in contact with our players and whatnot, and kept them informed and kept them working. And so, you know, we're just kind of taking it day by day and trying to continue to improve and get better.
Well, I think, first of all, it's great to hear that the family's all doing well. And that is the most important thing to be asking everyone we come into contact with these days. But I also think little things like this hopefully help sanity a little bit, just in giving people some tiny snapshot of some normalcy, just to see the head coach, to hear a little bit about the team. And I guess there's a good starting place is what has kind of the day-to-day been like? I'm sure you're still in constant contact with Coach Mack, Coach Kirby, Coach Drew, and the rest of the staff. But how have the interactions been? What does a typical schedule look like? And how often are you in touch with players individually or as a group?
Well, I tell you, Channing, it all kind of started when we got I think most Cavalier fans know the story that we got called back off the road on our travel to Pittsburgh to play the ACC series, and, you know, spent 2 days meeting with our team, and essentially, you know, it was announced at the end of the college baseball season and sent our guys home to their families and in their own individual situations, and told them that we would communicate with them, which we have done. Our coaching staff has quite a few meetings on the phone. We do a lot of Zoom meetings and planning. We at least did in the first week or 10 days and planning what we want the players to do. We've disseminated that information out to the players as far as workout plans, strength and conditioning plans, baseball development plans. So we've really kind of had to get kind of innovative of how we're doing this. Dispersed all the information out to the team, to their homes, and got an understanding of what kind of equipment that they have in their homes, what opportunities they have to not only strength and conditioning, but also baseball development. It's been kind of interesting to find that out, to see, you know, some guys have some weights at their house, but most guys don't. And so we have shared with them some workout ideas, whether it be baseball or strength ideas, for them to continue to improve and get better during this time, get stronger and continue to improve as a baseball player with limited resources. So, you know, as you know, Channing, the development of a baseball player over the last 20 years has really changed, right? Where we're at in today's day and age with technology and strength training and conditioning and developing velocity and things like that has really, you know, evolved over the last 20 years. Well, what kind of we've done is we've went back to what it was 20 and 30 years ago, where we didn't have those resources. So that's been really kind of interesting. You kind of opening the three-ring binders and dusting off some stuff that we used to do 25 years ago in the game, and staying connected with our players. You know, we have Google Docs that our entire team shares with each other and our staff on what they're doing every day. And, you know, we're continuing to get together as a staff and talking about recruiting and, you know, the team next year and player development.
I can only imagine the first time you hear about, well, this is what you can do. This is what I did at Creighton as a player. So here's an idea to pull it back to those days. But how about pulling it back to this season? I mean, I think part of what we wanted to do today is just recap the things you were able to take from the 18 games we were able to play this season. And it's kind of amazing to me how much growth you could see from a team, even through that limited of a sample size, at least relative to what you see over a typical season, you know, playing 60 plus games to instead only playing 18. But I mean, even still, from opening weekend in Pensacola to where we are at the end of the year, what ended up being the end of the year with a huge series win against NC State, winning 10 of the last 11 games. I'm sure you saw it as I saw it as a broadcaster, fans saw it, everyone involved saw it, that this team was already making big strides and had some really special talent in all facets of the game.
Well, we were. I'll tell you, we were all really excited about this year's club moving into the start of the season. You know, you heard me talk a lot about it, how, you know, I was really impressed this fall with the energy level of our club, their work, certainly our talent was where it needed to be. So the combination of talent and their skill and work ethic that they had and their togetherness as a group and the team building and things like that, we're at a really, really high level. I felt like those things were at a level of when we've had our best teams here at Virginia. And so really excited to start the season. And then, you know, the 18 games that we did play, you know, I thought our team started to grow, started to improve in a number of areas. We had some really significant impacts from new players into the program, whether it be pitching or offense and defense. In every facet, I thought we got better. I liked our depth. We had, you know, we had a couple of guys go down at different points. You know, Alex Tappan was down for a long period of time. Brendan Rivoli was down, other guys. And we showed the depth that we had, where we had guys like Jimmy Sullivan and Christian Hlinka and other players step in that weren't playing every day and weren't getting much of an opportunity coming out of the first weekend, but really stepped up and made some major contributions. You know, from the pitching side, Channing, I thought we, you know, some guys started to really start to come on and get better. You know, the emergence of Steven Schock pitching out of the bullpen was a nice addition to us. But to see somebody like Mike Vassell really make really big strides, I felt, from last year, his freshman year, to this year. I thought Griff McGarry made some nice strides as well. And, you know, the continued development of Nate Savino, who joined us in the middle of the year, as well as other guys on our pitching staff. We had a number of guys really contribute. So, you know, I was excited about the way it was going. I thought we played a great three-game series against NC State and started the conference season off really, really well, and just loving the direction we were going. And, you know, most importantly, Channing, our guys were having a lot of fun. They were really enjoying being together. You could see that in our dugout, that they enjoyed each other and enjoyed working hard and getting better. So disappointing, but encouraging for the future of what we have and what we have coming back.
If I can embarrass you for a minute, actually, you said, I heard you talk so much going into the season. One of the things you specifically said to me when we were kind of looking at how the roster was going to break out going into the year, when we were talking about position players, you mentioned two names. You said, Jimmy Sullivan is the next man up. That guy's working his tail off. He's going to get an opportunity at some point. So it's going to be up to him to kind of make the most of it. And I'd say four home runs in the limited at-bats he had was certainly taking advantage of it. And then you said Christian Hlinka is a left-handed bat off the bench that would be in a lot of teams' starting lineups opening day. And he had four home runs and something like 20-some at-bats. So I don't know if you meant to, but you peered into the crystal ball. And I'm sure it's nice as a coach to kind of see guys that you'd like to have an opportunity. They stepped up when they were given that opportunity.
Yeah, well, you know, certainly those are two names that were maybe, as we started the season, not in the everyday mix. But that speaks to, you know, how I was really excited and encouraged about the depth of our club, you know, one being position player wise and also from the pitching standpoint. And, you know, that's what this thing's about, Channing. You know, before this winter, as you know, we had the movie come out about the 2015 team and the 1186 to Omaha. And, you know, the big part about that story was you know, the things that happened during the season, the injuries that we went through, the different things that that club went through, and every team goes through those things, no matter what sport it is. And a lot of times your team, what they're capable of accomplishing is those moments and those situations where you have guys that step up and do the job for the team. And certainly those two guys did through our 18 games. Other guys did as well. And then, you know, really to see the emergence of some of those first years too, to see what Chris Newell did, right? Everybody, we talked about how talented of a young man Chris is, and for him to step in and play center field for us every day and do what he did offensively was tremendous. Max Cotier, manning second base for us every day, and what he delivered offensively to the club. And you know, Mark LeBrew, the junior college transfer from Canada, and the job that he did stepping into the program. So there were a number of guys that, you know, really emerged that were not on last year's club, and I thought really made a difference for us.
Yeah, you also talked about emergence in a different way in growth from a guy from a first year to a second year. And I think on the pitching side, Mike Vassell is a perfect example of that. I mean, he closes out the season with – he didn't get a win, but arguably his best start, what he did against NC State, he was great and really was consistent through the starts that he got all year long. But, I mean, also you can't talk about the second-year class without mentioning Zach Geloff and Nick Kent. I mean, those two just continue to do exactly what they've done, basically putting on the uniform every single day they possibly can and doing it at a high level.
Well, they do. You know, Geloff and Kent, they were rocks for us a year ago in their first year and played every day and were major contributors. And you could see their development continuing to come. You know, they go out and play summer ball. They come back in the fall and have even more confidence, and they're physically stronger and really had nice starts to the year this year. And certainly those two guys are going to be guys that we're going to really count on and help anchor our team next year. And you know, with Kent moving over from second base to shortstop this year, those two veteran guys manning the left side of our infield through the first part of the year this year was important. And, you know, those two guys, as well as many others, really stand for what our baseball program is about.
How about the back end of the bullpen? I mean, you referenced Steven Schock and what the addition of him to the very back end of the bullpen meant. But I wrote down the combination of Andrew Abbott and Steven Schock. They struck out 52 batters over 30 innings. Mm-hmm. Going into the seventh inning, essentially every game with a lead or a tie game, you had to feel as confident, you and Coach Drew as a staff, as confident as any team in the country because of what those two guys were able to do every single day.
Yeah, we did, and they performed at a really high level. You know, going into the season, Channing, you know, there was a lot of talk about what role was Andrew Abbott going to pitch in. Certainly he could start, right? And we just felt like early on in the season, having him in the bullpen was a real weapon for us. You know, I don't know, as the season moved on, maybe things would have changed. And, you know, but I, you know, you felt like the job that those two guys were going to do was really good, and that showed true. But I'll tell you what was really the key in those 18 ball games. Obviously, you know, those Schock and Abbott did a terrific job, but Kyle Whitten was really good. You know, he was basically the closer last year, or closed a lot of games for us last year. So he was a real weapon down there for us too. And then I'll tell you, Blake Bales and Paul Kasanovich, the innings that they came in and threw at different points in those 18 games were big for us as well. And, you know, Zach Messenger, I thought, was much improved from his freshman year. So, you know, seeing him pitching, you know, a start and then also pitch out of our bullpen. So, you know, we had a lot, you know, that bullpen was a real strength for us. Certainly those two guys were the marquee guys that did a lot of the work and had a lot of strikeouts, but there were, you know, five or six guys on a consistent basis that did a nice job for us.
I was going to say, with Bales and Kasanovich, the difference in the impact of the outs they were getting from their first year with the program to this past year, it seemed like every single time they were taking the ball, there was guys in scoring position, or they were trying to get out of a big jam, or they were eating up important innings, and it seemed like they did it just about every time.
Channing, they did, and they started to fall into a nice role. You know, those kind of guys are hard to find. Typically, they're veteran guys, you know, that have been through the experiences a little bit. And both of them we got to the point that we felt that they were both capable in the middle of the ball game with runners in scoring position, that you could bring them in and they would manage the game, right? And not, you know, either not allow anybody to score or keep it in check. And the job that a couple of those guys did, whether it be Witten or, you know, Mess or Bales or Paul, or they did really terrific, a terrific job in those areas and got the game under control and allowed us offensively to kind of come back in a few of those ball games. And that's a real, real valuable role on a pitching staff.
One last sort of recap question that I had for this year's team, and that was something that had been a staple and has been off and on, and a lot of it just has to do with the personnel that you have in a given year. But the speed game this year, what you guys did in the base pass this season was, in a way, a throwback to years of old in Virginia baseball, but 34 for 39 on the base pass in terms of stealing bases. That had a huge impact on the reason why you guys are scoring 9 runs a game. It isn't all the power, although the power was impressive. The smaller ball, the stolen base game, that was huge this year.
Well, it was, Channing. I felt like from an offensive standpoint in those 18 games, I felt like this was going to be one of the really good offensive clubs that we've had here. And you're exactly right. It's, you know, we were hitting home runs at a pace that, you know, that remind me of some of our really great offensive teams here. But you're exactly right. The stolen bases, the getting the extra guy in scoring position, that's what leads to the runs, right? The home runs are great, but, you know, those 30-some times that we are stealing a base, getting a guy into scoring position is going to increase run production. And everybody loves home runs, and we had quite a few of them in the 18 games we played. But, you know, if you really want to have a great offense, it's the little things that you need to do, stealing a base, taking an extra base, you know, doing the things on the base paths to create RBI opportunities. And we did that. And so I was really excited about, you know, the development of our club offensively. And I think there will be huge carryover from that to next year, because, as you know, you look at that roster change, most of the guys are going to be back in that lineup next year, and that's going to be exciting.
You did actually just make me think of something, which was, and you said everybody loves home runs, and that's true. Jimmy Sullivan hits his home run off the very top of the scoreboard, and I was asked, I don't know how many times, is that the farthest home run I've seen hit in the ballpark? And I said, no. It's easy to judge Derek Fisher's as being farther because he hit it over that same scoreboard. But you got to see Joe Kochanski, and he had some legendary home runs. So would you take Fisher's or Kochanski's? Because I know he had one, maybe a couple, that have gone down in Virginia baseball history.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, Joe used to hit them pretty good. And I'll tell you, the other guy is Mark Reynolds. Right. Mark hit some mammoth home runs in our uniform. And but I'll tell you that one that Derek Fisher hit that day is sticks with me. It was really, really impressive. And, you know, Fish could hit him with the best of them. And but we've been fortunate to have a lot of guys that we can sit and talk about. Haseley, Pavin Smith had a few, and a number of different guys. So hopefully we can continue to keep those guys going.
And they used to tell me that actually Scott Silverstein was the king of the batting practice home runs. So tell me how much truth there is in that, or whether he was just as confident as they come.
Oh, he could hit them. I'm telling you, when we'd have pitchers BP, and we do that every so often, he was one of the better ones of hitting some deep home runs, that's for sure.
Well, having a little bit of fun, I mean, you've got to stay entertained, as we all do these days. So everyone has a TV series that they're watching. Everyone has a book that they're reading these days. And I'm guessing maybe on the TV side, your kids are dictating to you what you're watching more than you getting to call the shots. But tell the fans what it is that you're, at the end of the day, how are you filling your time? What are you watching? What are you reading? Either or.
Well, I tell you, Channing, one of the positive things about all of this happening is we do have made it a point over the last two weeks. Every night we're sitting down for family dinner, the five of us. Last night was actually the first time we had done takeout, and we're going to start doing that more, a little bit easier than cooking a meal every night. But we just really enjoyed that part. You know, the TV watching's been pretty random. It's only happened late in the evening. I got to tell you, though, my unfortunately, my mother posted on Facebook a highlight thing from my high school basketball time, right? And my children have gotten a hold of it, and they got the biggest kick out of watching when I played high school basketball and how short the shorts were, right? And so that provided some pretty good comedy relief in our house, them watching me play a little bit of high school basketball. So
the danger of you mentioning that, if it's indeed on the internet, is now obviously there's a way for us to track that down. So we'll have to see if Graham can dig that up. I you know, you never know. Hey, you mentioned takeout. So that's, it's a good thing to do. I mean, it's kind of in the talk of the town is people supporting the local restaurants. And you've been here 17 years now. I mean, I'm realizing I've been here a decade. So some of these, the restaurants that my wife and I love, they're the places we've just become accustomed to going once a week, if not more, if we're getting greedy. But has there been a place, you said you just started doing it. Is there a place that's top of your list for wanting to help support?
Well, I tell you, the list is deep. We actually printed off the list that NBC 29 had produced of everybody that's doing carry out. And we actually yesterday afternoon had a voting system that you could rank your top five and how they would finish. You know, we've got a list of a good 10 or 15 that we're going to try to really support. Last night it was the Timberwood Tap House on the 5th Street Station, just because it's close in proximity. But, you know, you start to think about the local and Maya and Vivace there that's right by our stadium. You know, there's just a number of ones that, you know, there's some out in Crozet that we'd like to support, Far Downers and different things. So, you know, there's a lot of them out there, and we'll be doing the best we can to help them out and also help us out so we can get a nice quick meal.
If nothing else, we are all realizing here how spoiled we are with the size of the town relative to the quality of restaurant that we have. I think everyone's kind of taking stock of that right now. One of the things I saw the other day, you were talking to Mike Rooney, and you mentioned being able to go down to High Point and have the drive with your daughter to move her out, which I'm sure was bittersweet, especially for her in a lot of ways, to see how the school year, which you're dealing with all your athletes, but also to see it happen to your own daughter and losing part of her college experience. But, you know, the silver lining there is the time you got to spend. So two things on that. One is kind of a half joke, but going to High Point, were you able to catch up with our old operations director, Jason Laws? Did you see Jason? But then in all seriousness, one of the cool things about this is just catching up with people from across all different stages of life that maybe you haven't talked to in who knows how long. So I'll ask again, did you happen across paths with Laws, and who's a name that folks might enjoy hearing that, yeah, you've been able to, an old player, an old coach, whatever it is?
Yeah, well, I was not able to connect with Coach Laws down there. I do when I do get a chance to go down there and see Ellie or move her in this fall and things like that. I've been able to connect with Jason Laws on a number of times, and I actually just did a Zoom me call with him the other night and spent about an hour on the phone with him and talking about some things and just catching up. So really it's been a lot of different people that, you know, a lot of coaches from across the country have connected in ways on these Zoom me type calls to talk about, hey, what are they doing with their teams and how is this going to kind of unravel, you know, what's going to happen with the draft, what's going to happen with summer baseball. You know, just talking about different things to try to improve your program. And, you know, this time that we've had, it has allowed us to connect with, you know, with a lot of different people maybe in our past. That said, you know, we still have a job to do. I'll tell you, I'm in this home office, you know, starting early every morning and well into the late afternoon most days of still, you know, doing things that we need to do to be successful. So, but it is a great opportunity for us to connect with others.
Well, final question that I have, but, you know, in talking about seniors, specifically one of our fifth years, and quite the valuable lesson. I don't know if you were able to see, Stephen Schock actually provided some post-quarantine re-socializing skills, kind of a how-to video that he posted on Twitter. Have you had a chance to see that? Because I think we could all learn a lot from Steven's educational tools.
Yeah, I did have a chance to see it. My whole family enjoyed it. We've watched it several times. It was rather interesting. I'm not sure that we want to take that as a lesson of how we should do interviews, but it did provide some exceptional comedy relief, and he's pretty good about that. And you know, Steven added a lot to our club this past year, and who he is as a person, things like that. And you know, he decided to come here, and he's going to be graduating, you know, from the Curry School, the graduate program, this spring. And you know, he's very, very entertaining, though, and I hope we can get more of those.
Well, Coach, thanks as always for your time. This is a different sort of thanks for your time, but it is good to see your face. It's fun to have something, you know, a little bit of a return to normalcy for me just talking to you, but also hopefully for the fans and getting a little insight into Virginia baseball these days.
Well, Channing, I hope we can do it again. You know, as things unravel here, when we start thinking about, okay, what's going to happen with the Major League draft, you know, our summer ball is going to happen and things like that. I hope that we can catch up again and do something like this again and have a conversation and inform our fans of Cavalier baseball about, you know, kind of what's on the horizon. Thank you.
Well, it sounds good to me. Coach, thanks again. And thanks to all the Virginia fans for tuning in. And I hope you all stay safe, stay well. And thanks again for your support, as always, of Virginia baseball.